which is organized by the BIISP Technical Committee, which is Bioimage and Signal Processing. And we have here four members of this committee who will try to give you a panorama of what are the hot topics in the domain and the ones which are also of interest to the community at large of signal processing. So without going further ado, I just want to remind you that the goals of this biological and medical imaging is to be able, from different perspective, which is either the perspective of medicine or the perspective of biology, to understand functional and pathological mechanisms of life. And this goes through the analysis, usually through imaging, of a whole body, like a human body, down to genes and the products of genes, proteins. And the idea is to be able to integrate these multi-scale mechanisms through a one and only one approach, which is imaging. Imaging indeed gives you the way to analyze a body from the size of a macro down to the size of a nano. And the continuous scale can be really handled by different techniques that go from, for example, MRI or PET, this is medical imaging, down to electron microscopy or optical microscopy. In terms of images which are produced or information which is produced, we have a number of topics which are indeed very common to the two disciplines, which are related to image processing and analysis at large, that go from mathematical imaging, which is how can we put some mathematics or image processing at the very level of image acquisition already, to improve the acquisition of data to get information within a cell or a body, a human body or an animal body, which will then go through a number of steps. The very first ones are pre-processing, like denoising or inverse problems, deconvolution, and that we'll tell you about, up to more common topics like registrations, which is to put into register images which have been acquired, for example, through different modalities. Segmentation, which is the fact to extract information from the background, relevant information, up to then the modeling and classification of the information. And then the whole idea is then to be able, in the very end, to put these images into databases which can be retrieved in a smart manner, and the images are archived in a smart manner as well. Hot topics in the domain, and Michael and Bujdin and Laure will give you more insight into them, are many. I have just listed here many of them. I just want to emphasize the fact that we are really looking for innovative methods for data processing and visualization. This is a major need for the community to be able really to have a look, a quantitative look at the information. There is a lot of research which is also with overlapping topics with signal processing. For example, if compressed sensing is becoming a major topic of research, both in the medical and biological imaging, because the cost of either the photons or the acquisition of voxels is increasing, and we don't want to spend too much time and money on this. Super resolution, which is how can we get more details from an image through mathematics, it's also very important. And there is a whole topic of research, which is how can we make it available to the community through software packages, all these developments in software, so that end users, which are medics or biologists, can use these innovative algorithms without having to redevelop the whole thing, or being able to also test different packages or algorithms and compare the relative benefits of each of them. So the idea is to have these open source platforms, and for example in biology these are ImageJ or some developing projects like IC or Fiji, which are really trying to give to the community the broader available algorithms to test and use on their images. Okay, so I will now give a word to Laure. She will present you some trends in biological imaging. Then Michael will give you some ideas also on microscopy. Imaging will finalize with a medical imaging. Thank you.
Ah oui,
non, non, non. Je change.
Merci. C'est bon. Thank you, Jean-Christophe. So the thing I want to emphasize is that there is a wide variety of 3D devices for 3D microscopic imaging, and so now biologists access 3D information, and one important information is one thing important is 3D shapes and 3D morphology, because shape of biological structures provides information on their functioning and allows the characterization of pathological states. So here I give you an example of fluorescence confocal microscopic images, which is 3D, and here it is the maximum intensity projection of the 3D image. And we see fly axons, normal here, and mutant here. So biologists are studying the growth of axons where they suppress one genes. So this information, this axon morphological analysis allow biologists to study the causes of neurological disease such as Alzheimer. So what's important here is to look at the shape and, for example, counting the number of bifurcations, the total length of axons, and the direction of growth, and so on. So this is the mutant, and this is the... So shape is important. Then, second example is 3D X-ray microtomography reconstruction. For example, here you can see the 3D microvascularization of the brain. And we see that we have to reconstruct a very dense network of microvascularization. And the density of the networks inform you on the presence or not of a tumor. So here you can see dense network and less dense network because of the tumor. So in order to access this information, we usually have to solve an inverse problem, which is reconstruction or restoration. And usually, it can be stated as this optimization problem. Here we've got the term related to the data, so it is the knowledge on the acquisition system, and this is regularization part, which usually now is expressed as the L1 norm regularization, and there have been extensive work on this kind of problem for non-smooth optimization using convex analysis. Also, this problem models the compressed sensing reconstruction. Okay, so one point is it is a high-dimensional problem, and we need fast algorithm because we've got lots of 3D images to reconstruct. An important thing in biology is to have a very precise knowledge of the acquisition system, so this term. So, for example, in confocal microscopy, we need four quantitative images. And problems are the following. If you look at the answer of the acquisition system, so the punch rate function, when you put fluorescent beads, then the answer just under the cover slip is this punch rate function. However, if you go more in depth in the specimen, then the punch rate function is not the same. So we are facing with a deconvolution problem, but it's no more a deconvolution problem because the punch rate function is space varying. And what's important thing, for example, to reconstruct shapes, is that when you look at in depth, you've got a shift on the punch rate function. So if the true bead is here, then the observing system will be the green beads. So we have to take into account about this distortion. Another point is that we have very complex structure to reconstruct with a huge volume of data. And we could have a dense network to reconstruct, and also a mixed in resolution of structure to reconstruct. For example, we have very fine structure to reconstruct. So, for example, some kind of curves, which is one-dimensional in a 3D volume, in the same times as a tubular structure. And we have two faces also to missing data because we want connected network. So finally, I would like to emphasize the fact that we have morphology is very important information for biologists, and this needs to have quantitative images and to be able to reconstruct very complex 3D structures. And beyond image processing problem, we have to do statistical analysis of such very complex structures. And for example, the problem are how to define a proper metric between these structures and networks. And of course, this statistical analysis must take into account variability of the structures. Okay, so that's all, and then I give the call to Michael.
What I propose is that we go through all presentations. At the end, we have 10 minutes for discussion, open discussion on all the topics.
So, okay, I'll also go on with biological imaging, and perhaps we have to apologize a little for being very focused on biological imaging, because there was also Andrew Lane was supposed to talk more about medical imaging, but he's in Cuba right now. So lucky him. Anyway, so here are the challenges, signal processing challenges, more for microscopy, okay? And it has to do with the fact that it's 3D plus time data. So Laure was already telling you about deconvolution, denoising. I mean, those are, you know, outstanding problems still. I mean, there can be lots of work can still be done because, I mean, it's not completely satisfactory. But what I want to tell you a little about the challenges is on the other side is of the quantitative image analysis, because this is at the end, the biologists really want to have numbers. And so there are a certain number of problems related to microscopy images, which have to do with particle tracking. So these are fluorescent markers in images, looking at cells, also looking at the shape, gene expression profiles, and you know some of the problems that that would entail for image processing. So what I will do, I will actually sort of give you some example of state of the art. And taking algorithms that have been developed by people in our community and actually are being used by biologists. And I mean, this is the state of the art, so the challenges are to go beyond. And I will show you. But for example, here, okay, so if this, you see here, you have, this is an example of some, you know, time-lapse microscopy. Where actually this is a telomere, so it's at the end of a chromosome that has been labeled inside the nucleus. And so what the biologists would like to know is the movement of those chromosomes. And so what was developed here is a tracking algorithm that will actually track the structure in time and actually is able to do that in a pretty optimized fashion using a good, well-defined cost function using the past and the future. And I mean, this is just works very well for a single particle. But now the challenge is you may have this type of image, okay? So you have zillions of those particles with you know, all kinds of clutter in the background. And so a real challenge is to design trackers for that kind of data. So it's 2D or 3D plus time. So next challenge, so it has to do with cells and cell shape and motility. So here it's pretty simple cells. This is yeast. And so the biologist here, this is a phase contrast microscopy. So the idea here is to outline those cells not just for counting them, but because we want to extract the gene expression profile. And so this is also like an algorithm that's available, that's used by biologists, that will kind of like detect ellipses in images. And then if you apply this kind of, oops, why doesn't it move? Oh yeah, here. So then what you have in principle here is a time sequence. And so what's important here is to track all those cells with time. So why would you want to do that? Because those cells, actually what they are expressing, it's different genes here that have been fluorescently labeled. And so here you know the outline of this the cell, but what you would like to quantify is the expression, the amount of fluorescence in those cells here. And so get a time course of fluorescence, and this will be the data that the biologists want to deal with, to extract. So what are here the challenges? I mean, the challenges is very poor contrast of those images, dealing with much more complicated shapes than those yeast cells, which are round, handling cell division, introducing models of time evolution, and doing global optimization in space and time, dealing with crowded images, touching cells, introducing repelling forces, high throughputs. I mean, this needs to be done on huge amounts of cells and parallel imaging, fast, reproducible, and above all, easy to use algorithms so that people are really applying them in practice. So now, relating more to what Laure was telling you, there's this problem of extracting features from images, and so, for example, this was also a program developed. It's a program for tracing axons of neurons, but that's semi-automated. And now, I mean, this works well. It's used by people, but of course, life is more complicated than that. And what I see as a challenge and opportunity for signal processing communities actually coming up with what I would call key point for bio, because key points have a huge success for computer vision. So it's looking like points of interest in images. So what we would need in bio, we are not like we have 3D data. So we would need first, well, we can first look at 2D, but to optimize for scale, translation, rotation, invariance. Also, I mean, what we are seeing, we have background versus structures of interest, so doing detector that will maximally suppress background and probably use this kind of idea for designing wavelet-type representation that can enhance the feature of interest and suppress the background. But the real problem is in 3D, okay, because there's nothing in 3D. Oh, okay, so 2 minutes, okay. And so essentially do that in 3D. So in 3D, you have interesting structures like sheets, membranes. And here the challenge is developing, let's say, steerable detectors, wavelets in 3D, and above all, be computationally efficient because, I mean, there are huge amounts of data. So I just wanted to this is perhaps work done in the lab, but just to show you that one can do very interesting steerable wavelets. So here are some in 2D that look like Hessians, but they're reversible wavelets. But there seems also to be a possibility to do them in 3D, and this is pretty much uncharted. So doing wavelets that can rotate in 3D space. And at the end, so I'd just like to emphasize, if you're working in biology, so this is interdisciplinary research where there are lots of players, of course, the biologists, the medical people, there's the optics, the microscopy, the biochemistry, which is the markers, and the signal processing. And there was also like a special issue on biological imaging a few years ago, but still a good entry point for those who want to get into the field. Okay, so let's move to the next.
Switching already. There we are. So I will, as a last speaker, go a bit more into challenges that are emerging, especially in the medical field, moving away a little bit from the biological field. So basically, challenge number one is still increasing data dimensionality. Already for a century this is going on. The simplest biomedical signal is the electrocardiogram. The second two-dimensional signal is the normal two-dimensional picture. Then in the 80s came the three-dimensional pictures, then the four-dimensional pictures being three-dimensional plus time. More recently, especially in the last decade, especially functional imaging on top of anatomical imaging has become very popular. In that case, you have three spatial dimensions, one time dimension, and one functional entity, for instance, blood oxygenation. Three plus three dimensions, basically meaning three spatial dimensions and three direction vectors, basically, diffusion tensor imaging. Then there's nowadays very popular, starting to really get popular, 3+3+1, being dynamic imaging of flow, where you can actually monitor the three-dimensional flow inside the heart. And especially signal processing for this is still in its infancy, in the sense that people try to characterize a vortex flow in these types of images. But then when you have, I thought we kind of reached a limit at seven dimensions here, but then this Allen Brain database was published. The Allen Brain database is basically a three-dimensional data set plus a time aspect, where they basically followed the development of mice, where for every voxel they have 20,000 genes, which values for gene expression. So basically you could see this as a huge dimensional data set, which is now just about to be explored to correlate it with all kinds of in vivo imaging measurements. So this is number one. The dimensionality of the data is still increasing rapidly, and signal processing challenges are really plentiful there. Second is that imaging, until about 10 years ago, was mostly about imaging structure, anatomy with CT and MR images, and function with, for instance, nuclear techniques, which would highlight some aspect of function. And in the past decades, all kinds of technique became available to also look at biochemistry. And so now we can look at diseases on a biochemical level and then see what happens first in the biochemistry, what goes wrong in a particular disease biochemically, and then study the effects on structure and function. Now, the data acquisition is now getting so far that we can acquire this triangle of structure, function, and biochemistry, but the signal processing and image processing is still largely treating this as separate entities. And I think there's still a big challenge in trying to come up with integrative signal processing that actually looks at all the data at the same time. A third very important trend, I think, shows also that the field of biomedical image analysis is maturing at this point in time. It used to be the case that you could get away with a validation of a segmentation algorithm, for instance, just by citing some accuracies that others have achieved, and then benchmark your algorithm to that. But the problem with that is that all those results published in these papers, they are usually done on different patients, different test data, different test protocols, different error metrics, different gold standards. Everything is different. What you see, and this makes it very difficult to really make an objective benchmark. And especially in the pattern recognition community, there's already a lot of standardized databases with known classification results. And we see now in the medical image processing field more and more a trend towards really objective quantification, where they make available a centralized data set, the evaluation scripts are run centrally, and everybody can benchmark their data, their algorithm against that particular data set. And I think this trend is so important that nowadays, if you try to publish an algorithm on a topic which has already been benchmarked in one of these challenges, you cannot get away without benchmarking it against it. There's kind of a default rejection if you do not include validation experiments on these standardized databases. So very important field it shows that the field is maturing in that sense. Fourth, a very important new topic is longitudinal data analysis, where the main question to answer is something is changing, but what? Now, and you can imagine that if you look at an individual patient, it's still manageable. You look at follow-up, is the disease getting worse, yes or no? But nowadays, one tends to look at groups of patients, anywhere between 2 and 1,000, to study disease development and to evaluate treatment effect. But even more data is acquired on normal subjects. There are nowadays huge population studies where they are every year scanning people, healthy people, and they're scanning every year and then basically wait until people get sick at some point in time. And then they can backtrack through the data whether they could find early signs of that. And you can imagine that finding these early signs is really a needle in a haystack. And there's huge image processing challenges in trying to really combine all that data and to backtrack through that data. Another trend actually here is the fact that, as I already showed, that this biochemistry became available. I think there's a lot to gain in the combination of chemistry and specified specific signal sensors that, for instance, can look at multispectral imaging, as we can see here. And let's say one of the applications that we are working on is a specific fluorescent probe, which is injected, for instance, in a tumor. And that basically that probe can be used to identify the lymphatic system. And then it's very easy to perform some parts of particular surgery where they need to remove lymph nodes. And this is only possible because of a very delicate balance between, at some point, the acquisition device and the probes that are being used. And here you can actually see that removing a lymph node becomes very easy using these combined technologies. And then finally, recently there has emerged a lot of attention for personalized integrative modeling and simulation. Perhaps some of you have heard of the Virtual Physiological Human project. Well, especially in EU, this has been a hot topic for the past few years. And more these very integrated models, which go from the cell all the way to the organism, they start to percolate really into clinical practice, where actually they use this patient-specific data to tune the model to the observations, and from there on they can actually do predictions and simulations on that. So that's about wraps up my overview of what I perceive as very important trends in the medical image analysis.
The end of the presentation, and I would like now to open the floor to discussions and questions, and have a few people here who can maybe give some feedback.
Nothing? Yes, please. I think we need them both, basically. I think some algorithms are so generic that they can basically be used for a lot, but I think we also need dedicated sometimes algorithms for particular application. But perhaps you could...
My advice there is for those who have not been working too much in the bio area, my advice would be to start working on a specific algorithm, because if you look at the very big challenge, the ultimate segmentation algorithm, you'll have to compete against all those benchmarks that are out there. So if you're working on the specific problem, so you'll have people very happy at the other end, and so it will really help you also to learn what the issues are. And of course, I mean, if along the way you happen to stumble on something really general, you go also for the more general algorithm. But I think specific is good.
Actually, there has been a trend, let's say in the 90s, to look for this big general super segmentation framework, for instance, that could be applied just to everything. And now I see kind of more dedication again to single applications. and only some of those very generic segmentation frameworks, yeah, they are still actively researched in that sense. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's in most of the areas like segmentation, I mean, the generic stuff has already been done. Well, maybe not all. I mean, if you're very lucky, so you'll find your generic algorithm. Since we don't have many questions, I guess in our presentation we didn't insist too much on the inverse problems because we thought someone else would talk about them, because you know, compressed sensing or you know, those L1 type optimizations are pretty much in the focus of the signal processing community, and as Jean-Christophe was saying, actually those are a very hot topic in imaging in general. So essentially, people are revisiting all the classical image reconstruction algorithms, be it for MRI, CT, in the medical imaging area. The same for different types of microscopy. So that and not just the traditional modalities. There are also like lots of people in optics designing always new modalities, and the new modalities tend to work very closely with signal processing, because traditionally, for example, people in optics, they just wanted to do a microscope so that you see an image. But now, once you have signal processing, you can do more like a tomography and start acquiring measurements that you may not necessarily see, but once they go through a signal processing algorithm, then that can reconstruct images, hopefully using less measurements, and so forth. And so that's obviously very hot. If you go to medical imaging conferences, you have lots of compressed sensing people, the same on the microscopy side, and so that's certainly an area where the problems are pretty well defined. But then, the guys also are very interested in quantitative measurements, so that as we showed in our examples.
And just to elaborate on what Michael was saying, is that in particular for the biological community, the goal has always been to do a nice image. And a nice image, as you may know, is probably not the best one in terms of optimizing the rate of acquisition, the rate of information. It's very much the opposite, actually. If you, through signal processing, you are able to extract the meaningful information, even if there is a lot of background or clutter, which means that you can either improve the timing of your acquisition, you can expose more time your sample, or you can also spend more time on doing different ranges of wavelength, so you can have a more dense field of acquisition if you are able to reduce the time that you're exposing your sample for each of the channels. And this is something that only signal processing related methods can bring to the community. So there is a whole range of application and of possible topics of research for this community at ICASP, if only you are interested to, I mean, deal with some challenging but also interesting problems. Not to mention the fact that we are more and more, as maybe you saw through the presentation, there is some kind of a coming together of medical imaging and biological imaging, and they are really merging. And one of the key modalities is molecular imaging, which is indeed the use of medical imaging techniques to have resolution which is similar to microscopy imaging. And that there is also a lot of challenges still open for the community. Well, if there are no more questions, I think it's... Oh, here.
I'm still trying to work out the questions, so it's going to sound big. But, you know, we have CT, PET, MRI, SPECT, fMRI, all these modalities. And then over time, you know, do you see that continuing to explode? Are we going to run out of new modalities? And do new modalities come from hardware people, from processing people? How does that work?
I guess on the medical imaging side, maybe not everyone will agree with me, but it's pretty mature because, I mean, the big revolution happened about 30 years ago, invention of MRI. So, I mean, MRI is still going very, very strong and always getting better, stronger magnets, etc., new type of modalities, doing different kind of measurements, but it's pretty sophisticated. Now, what's happening on the other hand, on the biological side, we are more or less experiencing this state of 30 years ago in medical imaging because there are all kinds of new modalities actually coming out almost every year. And for example, in microscopy, they've been able to beat the Rayleigh limit by a factor of 100, going, you know, like below what physics tells you, but by using some tricks, of course. And there are like novel microscopies being developed currently, and very often hand in hand with signal processing. So that's very important. Actually, the other thing we could even say is all the medical imaging couldn't exist without signal processing, because MRI, the first thing it is, it's a Fourier transform. So I see that there's improvement in modality, especially going at finer resolutions, and very much happening now in the area of biology, but I suppose also in medical. So I don't know if you, and there's all this small animal imaging, you know, so where we're getting always a need for higher resolution. So it's very, very active right now. No, I mean, this is very, very hard because, for example, with microscopy, okay, you use a fluorescence and there's lots of, you know, like naturally fluorescent stuff inside your specimen. So usually, I mean this will be, you will interact with some biologist who did the labeling, and I mean, it's never very simple. But of course, I mean, the goal of biochemistry is finding markers that are extremely selective. And also with this molecular imaging, in principle, I mean, they're very good markers, okay? It's just sometimes the resolution is not so great yet. So with PET, I mean, they're very good markers, but very poor resolution. With bioluminescence, very good markers, but terrible resolution. And
okay, I think we have to close the session because the next session is starting. And I'll thank you all for your coming here. And hopefully we'll see you in some more dedicated conferences or sessions to imaging. Thank you.